Well, there's one person I do not like to keep waiting, and that is the jazz cat, Leroy Downs. But there's another person I do not like to keep waiting, and that is Anthony Wilson, who will be the jazz cat's guest today. In case you all went to the website, which many of you have, and got an idea that that Anthony Wilson will be on the program today, as we previewed it yesterday as well. And those of you that haven't been to the website, it is www.thejazzcat.net. Can't be any simpler than that. That is www.thejazzcat.net. And you will find archived interviews with jazz luminaries, just like today, and up-and-comers as well. So the Jazz Cat covers the entire scene, and there are many, many photos, as well as interviews from the International Association of Jazz Educators conferences, some private interviews, and right at the rehearsals. There was some very, very historical rehearsals. And recordings, and also from the Grammys. So check the site out, www.thejazzcat.net. I'm Gary Hamada. We're going to be with the Jazz Cat in just about 5 seconds. Stay with me. We'll have his special guest today, and you'll be treated to one of the nicest individuals I have ever met in the music world. I'm talking about the entire music world, and as you know, I go back to the Bill Graham days, so... not only is he a superstar in his own right, you will find him in many, many videos, but he is also one of the nicest individuals that you will ever meet as well. So just stay right here, 5 seconds away from the Live with the Jazz Cat show.
My life, all the memories of them still live on. And the grayer I grow, I'll remember that house in the country.
Joining us right now on the For Locals Only show on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio, right from the Eastwood Building, Carmel by the Sea, California. It is Tuesday, February 26, 2008. It is Leroy Downs himself, the Jazz Cat, along with his guest, the Live with the Jazz Cat show is on the air. How you doing, Leroy?
Very well, Gary. How are you?
I'm sorry to keep you waiting, but I know I'm glad you're there right now. So,
hey, no problem.
Take it away.
Today we present the award to, as Gary Hamada would put it, the nicest guy in jazz, Mr. Anthony Wilson.
Hey, Leroy, how you doing?
I'm fine, man.
But I think when Gary was saying that that he was around during the Bill Graham days, that's like summer of love time. So people had to be pretty nice back then, because you know, there was like a vibe in the air. So if I can compete a little bit, that's cool with me.
Well, that vibe of love, exactly what I want to talk about. I mean, there's so much love and melody, and piano as well as your instrument, guitar, are two of the major contributors to really evoking the romance in the music. What is it about life and love that exude through your compositions and the way that you approach the music?
Man, that's a really interesting and good question, I think. I mean, you could exude a lot of other things, of course, through music. You could exude all your darkness and your sort of your inner demons and let that stuff out through music. If there's a place for everything in music, I think for me though, what you're saying hits home in a good way, because in order to really, really harness what's inside in a musical expression inside of me as a composer or as a player, it has to come from a real place of purity and for want of a better word, love, just a really positive energy. That's what helps propel musical energy or musical expression. I think any artistic expression doesn't really matter what the person is actually, what other things the person is actually also trying to work out in the meantime. Without that kind of, without that kind of energy, you can find yourself as a listener being a little, you find that the work is a little bogged down sometimes in those, in those other aspects. So I find that that a sense of energy, of life, of a very good positive feeling, positive regard for what you're doing, that's what helps propel those other things through and helps it to speak to a listener. So for me, I always try to center myself in that as a player when I'm writing. Even if there are other things that I'm trying to work out, for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, I hear a lot of thought and attention to story in your music. I mean, what are the roads less traveled that contribute to the sensibilities around the music for you?
Well, definitely that idea of story. I always call it kind of a narrative sense in music is something that I really respond to as a listener. I always say to people, if I encounter, for example, like composition students at different universities or high schools that I go to do workshops at, that a sense of narrative is important and it's not always only composition students, of course. This is going to apply to any solo that any player would take. That a sense of narrative can really help to structure and give a sense of completion to whatever you're doing. So even though it doesn't have to be, I've never been one to kind of do programmatic music. In other words, writing a piece that is supposed to be about something, like some certain subject. Or something, you know, like it wouldn't necessarily be my inclination to write a piece about the Iraq War, for example, and then do like five movements about the Iraq War. Even though I'm totally against it and I have a lot of feelings about it, that's not how I would tend to structure my music. But if I wanted to write a piece that started from one place and went to another place and ended in another place, that's kind of what I'm talking about when I talk about narrative. So not trying to tell particular stories about particular subjects, unless I suppose I was working with pieces that had lyrics, because I just kind of believe that music doesn't have any actual sound, can't really embody a particular subject. So if I buy a record and it's somebody's suite that they've written about some certain subject, and it's instrumental music, sometimes I feel like I'm being a little bit dictated to. This is what I'm supposed to think about the music. And I've never really liked that.
Yeah.
But I do like that sense of a composer or an improviser really putting enough attention into what he's doing to know that he's really starting somewhere, and his ideas begin, and it's sort of typical or basic, but sometimes people don't think about it. They begin somewhere, and they will go through some middle period, and then they will end up somewhere. So the development of ideas, the choice of material, how that choice is developed and elaborated on and varied, you know, this kind of theme and variations creates a sense of narrative, of structure, of telling a story, even though it may not be about a particular subject. In a way, anybody can, if I start fast, if my ideas at the beginning of a piece have a certain velocity, then I need to follow those ideas through. They have to, like a piece where all of my ideas were of a certain velocity and speed, that would create a kind of stasis, you know. And so in order to vary the idea and create a story, well, those ideas are going to start to take some different shape as you go through a middle period of the piece, and then, of course, you'll end someplace else. But just that simple idea of beginning, middle, and end with attention can create something very powerful, and tell a story that can be, in a way, interpreted by the ear of the listener in a million different ways, but it's still structurally sound. So for me, that's something that's really important. I work on it from the shortest pieces to the longest pieces. I really admire the old big band pieces, like things from the 20s and the 30s, things from the earliest Ellington and the early Fletcher Henderson band with that Benny Carter was arranging for, and of course Fletcher and Horace Henderson and Lunsford Band, of course. These guys were real masters at these kind of gem-like short pieces that created a whole sonic world, incorporated a great deal of improvisation and a great deal of composition in like 2 minutes and 20 seconds, 2 minutes and 40 seconds. You have these complete stories, and nowadays, sometimes listening to music, you can hear pieces that somebody had 12 minutes to create something, and it's not quite as focused. And I love that sense of focus and honing in on ideas over a period of time, whether it's a short period of time or a long period of time, to somehow create something that's structurally sound and in a way more than just the ideas that are put into it.
You're listening to Mr. Anthony Wilson.
Whew, that was a long answer.
All good, man. Right here on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. The show is called Live with Jazz Cat. I'm Leroy Downs. And it's on the For Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Well, yeah, I think you covered the spectrum on that. You know, writing the music, it's nice to have it written so that it's open, so that it can be interpreted by all those different people differently, you know, as opposed to being writing, so I want you to think this, and there you go.
Sure, sure. Well, I never do when I listen. And I also come at it the same way dealing with different improvisers. I want to know that there are spaces where each improviser can then also, it's a focused enough space for an improviser to come in and say his piece, and yet it kind of locks in with what I was intending as a composer. I find that to be a real cool challenge to always set myself up with. I know that different pieces that I play are going to be played by different improvisers at different times. I don't have the luxury of having a consistent personality of my band all the time. Last week I played in New York, and I put together a slight variation of my band. And I love it because if I can focus my compositions enough, it's gonna be really cool when some other improviser comes in the performance and does something that I wasn't quite expecting, but it still links up with what I was writing. I find that totally fascinating. I mean, one of the joys of jazz.
Freedom in the music.
Yeah.
You know, your relationships with vocalists and music are pretty special. I mean, you can hear dance, the waltz, the romantic drama, and the symbiosis that the melody wraps you both in. What are some of those special moments that you have had recording with and performing with Diana?
Man, they're just countless. Some of my favorite things that we've done haven't even been recorded, unfortunately. On tour, we'll tend to get together sometimes and just decide to play a standard as a duo during the show. And for me, some of those duos have been really amazing, because she just sits, she turns over to me, and I kind of accompany the way I might feel like doing. And solos of all time, which is Joe Pass and Ella Fitzgerald, who, when they worked together, there was just something, there was something more than what each of them was as an individual, and something really, really precious. So some of those things haven't been heard yet, and I'm really hoping, actually, in maybe some of these next recordings that we'll be doing this summer, you might get to hear a little bit of that. Playing duo with her has been incredible, and just on the road, playing with her and Jeff Hamilton and John Clayton, it's literally every night total discovery. It's the three of them are at the height of their powers, and I like to feel I'm doing well, and I'm coming up to what they've got, and we've got something that's spontaneous. You know, sometimes maybe people think of Diana as a bit more of a jazz crossover type, but I've learned in working with her that she's like a jazz singer in the purest sense that I know, that I've ever encountered, and her she's improvising all the time. Every night it's different, and she may have certain arrangements, of course, but when we get in there and we start going, there's that real interplay. I love kind of thinking of myself as at different times a brass section, or at different times a saxophone section, or trombone, or trumpet, or kind of a just playing an obbligato with what she's doing. She gives that room, so it's been a pretty joyous experience playing with her, because of all of that freedom, all that space to just be yourself, you know.
Well, you know, there's some people that have elevated to one word or one name status in the business. You know, there's Miles, there's Train, there's Mingus, and the person that we are speaking of, in case you do not know, the one word Diana is for Diana Krall, of course.
That's right.
You're listening to Live with the Jazz Cat. My guest today, Mr. Anthony Wilson, on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio on the Four Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. So much music is done with trios and quartets and quintets, but it seems like nine is the magic number for you.
Well, I just sort of stumbled on it when I wanted to start a large band. I realized that if I wanted to start a big band, this was around 97 or so, that it was just going to be, I'd probably only ever have, you know, kind of infrequent rehearsals at the Musicians Union over on Vine and Melrose, and then even more infrequent gigs. And that didn't seem right to me. I really wanted to begin something and really create a book for a band that could at least work, sometimes travel, work regularly in Los Angeles, which is the city that I live in. And I was listening to a lot of things like T-Bone Walker and B.B. King, Freddie King. And these guys would have, like, they'd kind of have their, they might do a record with a big band, but they also had a lot of records that were made with smaller bands, maybe just five horns. And especially listening to T-Bone and B.B. King, I got this idea that something like that could really work well, because I had this interest in arranging for horns, and I needed enough horns where I would like to make it sound like a big band, but it also, something that I wasn't even quite aware of when I started going with it, was that it would be few enough horns that it could have the flexibility of like a quartet or quintet, you know, which is extremely flexible and works very well. But there would be these different combinations that I could use to kind of play with the idea of the size of the band. I didn't know that was going to happen. I was just thinking I wanted a large band, but I just couldn't quite commit to doing a big band or even like a 12 or 13 piece band. So I sort of just came up with that number, and I came up with that particular grouping of horns, three saxes, a baritone, tenor, and alto, and then each of them is able, if they need to double on things like flute or bass clarinet or soprano sax, and then two brass instruments, just a trombone and a trumpet. So I basically have all of the horns that you would have in a big band to draw from, and I just started building a book. I sort of arbitrarily decided on that particular grouping, and it worked so well that I've kept with it. I've really learned what makes that, for me, what makes that instrumentation work, and it's really changed. The kind of writing that I do for it now is much different than when I started. I started kind of based on that template of these T-Bone Walker and B.B. King and Freddie King recordings. And now that's just blown out of the water. That it's much more of an open, very improvisational kind of thing that's going on, and I feel very comfortable with it.
Well, what's so wonderful about it is that you can morph into all of these. You can start out with a nonet, break into a sextet, go into a quintet, drop down to a trio. I mean, it's just so wonderful that within the confines of, you know, one particular piece, you can have all of those different things that give you that singular sound, but also make it just as vast as well.
Absolutely. And I started out writing arrangements that were much more structured, because I just, in my mind was telling me, oh, well, when you have kind of a large band, you write basically from the top of the left-hand corner of the page to the bottom right-hand corner of the last page of the piece, and you sort of structure it that way. But what's happened in the last couple years especially is I come in with these handwritten things that are much more, you know, much more flimsy in a way, and we can really do something with them, because there's not 20 guys there or 18 guys there. And you could even do it with 18 guys. What you realize is that these preconceptions of the way a big band needs to be handled are only old preconceptions. I mean, not everybody's a fan of this particular type of work, but I really have enjoyed going to see Butch Morris in the past couple years in New York, and he directs his whole band via hand signals, so there's not a sheet of music up there, and all the musicians who play with him know his hand signals. I mean, that's sort of you have to learn his hand signals, and they create like really exciting music, like just beautiful stuff, and you wouldn't exactly know that it wasn't written down if you weren't watching, you know. And so there's so many ways to go with large ensembles that allow for all that room for improvisation. It's only limited by the imagination of the person who's sort of in the position of leading it, and then you also put yourself in the hands of great musicians, and the results are amazing.
That's beautiful. This is Anthony Wilson on the show, live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio, on the Four Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Well, Brazil must be the epicenter of love on the planet. I have yet to go there, but from what I hear, the sea, the sky, the sand, and the warm breezes match the human spirit about the people, and some of these same things are we hear emanating from the music. Tell us about Brazil and how it's made its way into your soul.
Well, that's a totally long, long story, but it's definitely in there, and I wish that right now I had a copy of my newest record, but I will have that soon, so I'll get it to the station, I'll get it to you.
Lovely.
This is a record that I did called Nova, which is a collaboration with another guitarist, actually, a Brazilian from São Paulo named Chico Pinheiro. And about 4 years ago, on my first trip to Brazil, at that time I already was totally, you know, waist deep in this music. I had been buying CDs like crazy of, you know, the people who I was hearing about, people, people, of course, like Milton Nascimento or a wonderful composer from Rio called Ginga, and many, many others. I was just starting to get kind of heavily into the music. I loved Moacir Santos, great composer. And I went down to Brazil, and we played with Diana a few concerts, and I started buying a bunch more CDs. And actually, at one of the concerts, a guy, excuse me, a photographer, gave me a CD of this guy named Chico Pinheiro. And he said, "I said this is a CD of a friend of mine. I think you'd really like this composer and guitarist. He's really interesting, and he's a big fan of yours, but he couldn't come to the concert tonight. And even if he did, he probably wouldn't want, he'd probably be a little shy and reluctant to give you his CD because he might think that's a little too promotional." And this is, in a way, you know, partly the way Brazilians are. They're very, there's a kind of a humility about them. The musicians that I've met down there who are extraordinary. I mean, I've met some of the most extraordinary musicians, young and old and in between. And there's this beautiful sense of, well, you know, we're doing our thing and we love it, but we don't know if people really love it as much as we do. You know, just a beautiful humility. And they don't need to have it because, as we know, this music is just infectious and incredible and deep on so many levels, rhythmically, melodically, harmonically. And if you start to get to know the great lyricists of Brazil, like Chico Buarque or Paulo César Pinheiro, these guys are writing just poetry, you know. So making a long story short, this guy Chico wouldn't have given me the CD, but thankfully his friend gave me the CD. When I finally got it home to listen to it, I was blown away by this music that was very much having a kind of a dialogue with traditional Brazilian music, everything from, you know, the finest bossa nova, great samba, and even things like Vila Lobos, beautiful, you know, composerly kind of things. And then it had this incredible jazz sensibility. And so I contacted Chico through his website, and we just sort of struck up a friendship. And through that friendship, I started going down to Brazil to kind of, you know, hang with him a bit, learn a bit of the music, and that's now, you know, I've been going about four times a year, every year, for about the last 3 years, just trying to soak up the music. And about halfway through that time, Chico and I decided to do a record, which we finished last year, which came out in Brazil just about a month ago, and it'll be out in the States within the next couple months. So
that's beautiful, man. We are certainly going to look forward to hearing from that.
It's definitely a part of my, I mean, what I'm learning from the music there is pretty extraordinary, so I'm really happy.
Man, it's been beautiful talking with you today, Anthony.
Leroy, anytime, man.
Anthony Wilson right here on the show live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio, on the Four Locals Only Show with Mr. Gary Hamada.
Thank you, gentlemen. I can't express any more gratitude than I've already have at the beginning of the show, Live with the Jazz Cat. We took a little bit more time than normal. Anthony Wilson deserves that. Just a real talented individual, but just a great guy. Never met a nicer guy, frankly. Worked with a lot of artists, Bill Graham and with jazz, and one of the nicest guys. Maybe Louis Belson would be the other guy. Be just as nice. Of course, Anthony's dad is a great guy as well. It's Gerald Wilson. Another stellar interview. If you would like to get a review of that interview, just go to the Jazz Cats website. It'll be posted up there for your listening pleasure. www.thejazzcat.net. You'll be able to hear all the nuances and also the the interview all over again, and check out all the other great interviews. I mean, there are some terrific ones with Ornette Coleman and Dee Dee Bridgewater, Diane Reeves, George Duke. Some of those just come to my mind right off the bat, but check it all out. It's all there at the Jazz Cats website. I'm Gary Hamada. You are listening to For Locals Only on Caramel Jazz and Blues Radio on Tuesday, February 26, 2008. We are coming to you live from the Eastwood Building, Carmel by the Sea, California.